When Emerson poetically noted that mosses favour the north sides of trees, the moss upon the forest bark was pole star when the night was dark. He really meant lichens, for in the 19th century mosses and lichens weren't distinguished. True mosses aren't actually fussy about where they grow, so they are no good as natural compasses. In fact, mosses aren't actually much good for anything. Perhaps no great group of plants has so few uses, commercial or economic, as the mosses, wrote Henry S. Conard, perhaps just a touch sadly, in How to Know the Mosses and Liverworts, published in 1956 and still to be found on many library shelves as almost the only attempt to popularize the subject. They are, however, prolific. Even with lichens removed, bryophytes is a busy realm, with over 10,000 species contained within some 700 genera. The plump and stately Moss Flora of Britain and Ireland by A. J. E. Smith runs to 700 pages, and Britain and Ireland are by no means outstandingly mossy places. "The tropics are where you find the variety," Len Ellis told me. A quiet, spare man, he has been at the Natural History Museum for 27 years, and curator of the department since 1990. You can go out into a place like the rainforests of Malaysia and find new varieties with relative ease. I did that myself not long ago. I looked down and there was a species that had never been recorded.
So we don't know how many species are still to be discovered?
Oh, no, no idea.
You might not think there would be that many people in the world prepared to devote lifetimes to the study of something so inescapably low-key, but in fact, moss people number in the hundreds, and they feel very strongly about their subject.
"Oh, yes," Ellis told me, "the meetings can get very lively at times." I asked him for an example of controversy. "Well, here's one inflicted on us by one of your countrymen," he said, smiling lightly, and opened a hefty reference work containing illustrations of mosses, whose most notable characteristic to the uninstructed eye was their uncanny similarity to another. "That," he said, tapping a moss, "used to be one genus, Drepanocladus. Now it's been reorganized into three, Drepanocladus, Wamstorphia, and Hermatoculus."
"And did that lead to blows?" I asked, perhaps a touch hopefully.
"Well, it made sense. It made perfect sense, but it meant a lot of reordering of collections, and it put all the books out of date for a time, so there was a bit of, you know, grumbling."
"Mosses offer mysteries as well," he told me. "One famous case, famous to moss people anyway, involved a retiring type called Hyophila stanfordensis, which was discovered on the campus of Stanford University in California, and later also found growing beside a path in Cornwall, on the southwest tip of England, but has never been encountered anywhere in between. How it came to exist in two such unconnected locations is anybody's guess.
It's now known as Hennadiella stanfordensis," Ellis said. "Another revision."
We nodded thoughtfully.
This book is continued on Disc 12.